Time for Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's your connection to local music and more. And we have both music and theater on the show today. Our first guest will be Blake Quinlan, who is all 15 years old, and he is already a writer and director with the Rantoul Theater Group. They're doing a couple of his one-act plays with co-written with Larry Smith. And we have a few scenes from that, from those plays as well. Then an unadvertised special with a group called Sheikh Gamin, who are going to be at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield on Saturday evening. Wonderful vocal quartet with percussion addition. So it's really, really a quintet. A group, we'll hear about that from one of their members. And Desiree Hassler is a soprano in the Champaign-Urbana area who is not with us much longer, moving up to Chicago. She's going to be the soloist with the Prairie Ensemble on their concert on Friday evening in Champaign. So we'll talk with her and hear some music by Samuel Barber and music by Bohuslav Martinu, which is also on that Prairie Ensemble concert. Here is a sample. That was music from actually a ballet suite by Czech composer Bohuslav Martinu. The French title, La Revue de Cuisine, which means the kitchen review, and it's actually a suite from a story, a ballet, the story of which has to do with love among kitchen utensils, and is really quite farcical for six players. We heard it played by Chicago Premusica. You can hear the complete suite played as part of the Prairie Ensemble concert Friday evening in Champaign at 7:30, First United Methodist Church. And on that program also some works by Samuel Barber, who, had he lived long enough, would have celebrated his 100th birthday last month. We'll hear about one of those pieces in particular, his Knoxville Summer of 1915, which will be sung on that concert by soprano Desiree Hassler, who will join me in the studio a little bit later on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. But first, we have with us a fellow named Blake Quinlan, who is all of 15 years old, a freshman in high school. And he, along with Larry Smith, who is not a freshman in high school, have co-written, and Blake is directing, a couple of one-act plays for the Rantoul Theater Group. And those performances open, I think, this weekend.
Yes, that's correct.
And run for a couple, the next weekend as well. So, Blake and your colleagues here, thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us back.
So, how did you get to be a playwright and director?
Well, last summer, I thought about writing a play, but I knew I couldn't do it by myself, so I contacted Larry. And on August 12th, 2009, we got started on them, and it's definitely something that I want to do again.
You had this marked on your calendar, obviously. You remember the exact date of starting the thing.
Couldn't forget it.
And that's not so long ago, so it didn't take terribly long. What made you think you could write one, and what, in your experience so far, led up to wanting to write a play?
Well, last April and May, I directed two one-act plays in the Studio Theater, and we have a very small budget, so as a way to increase revenue, I thought, well, it'd be nice to get a free play, that way we would not have to pay for royalties and scripts. And I did not have any luck finding a free play, so I thought, I'll just write one, and we actually wrote two one-act plays.
And you've been doing some acting?
I have acted
yourself.
Yes, I have acted before. I started when I was six, and I have been in 10 shows, but I haven't been on the stage in about 2 years.
You were a munchkin in The Wizard of Oz, you told me.
Yes, I was.
That was your debut.
That was my debut with the Rantoul Theater Group.
And how did that go?
It was very fun. I had the closing line as all the munchkins went off the stage, which I know no one will ever let me live down. It was goodbye, everybody. And so
that's that profound. Yeah, and you probably had trouble living down being a munchkin as
well. Yeah, that too.
Probably people will forever think of you as one and probably call you that, or have they given up?
Oh, no, they still hound me about it.
Larry, have you written plays before also?
Yes, I've written a play, Dracula the Undead, which is going to be performed in September, October of this year. I was working on that since 2006, so I've been working on that for a couple of years now, and it's all ready to go.
And finally.
Finally, right. Well, it takes a long time because the original Bram Stoker book is over 500 pages, and I follow the actual author's style of the book.
So this one with Blake was really written in record time in that case.
About 4 months.
But not, well, first of all, there's two of them.
Yes.
Right? Both of them one acts, and both of them having something to do with high school experience, present and past. You want to tell us a little bit about the two stories?
I'd love to. She's Driving Me Crazy is the first one, which is about six high school students who are trying to pass driver's ed. It follows the protagonist, Jay Bailey, who has to get his license or else he will not be able to take his girlfriend, Sally McDonald, to prom.
Which would be humiliating.
Yes, because she does not want to be seen in the back of his mother's car with him going to prom. The second show is called The High School Reunion, which stars Jane Doe, who is a small-town girl living in a lonely world, who is still stuck in high school, and two of her high school boyfriends come back to see or for the high school reunion, and she tries to break up their marriages and marry one of them. And
either one, she'll just pick one of the other.
She wants one of them, but doesn't care which one it is.
As long as she succeeds in breaking them up. That's nice character, this Jane.
Yeah.
Right. Just as well, she has an anonymous name, more or less. And you brought with you a couple of actors as in addition to Larry.
Yes, I have Randy Offner, who is Mike Pepperone in The High School Reunion, and Harriet Hinder, who is Mrs. Phillips, the teacher, the driver's ed teacher, and She's Driving Me Crazy.
And what are we going to hear?
We are going to start off with a scene from She's Driving Me Crazy, in which Randy will play the state trooper, and I will be Jay Bailey as he is going through his official test.
And are you Jay Bailey in the show, or you're reading for someone else?
I am not. I'm reading for someone else.
Okay, so we won't hold you to as high a standard in that case, since you're filling in.
Very kind of you.
Blake, played by Blake Quinlan and Larry Smith, called She's Driving Me Crazy, which is going to go up at the Rantoul Theater Group this weekend.
Jay Bailey? Jay Bailey?
Yes?
Are you Jay Bailey?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's see your learner's permit. Okay. Now, before we start the actual road test, I'm going to ask you a few questions about some of the most important rules of the road, okay?
All right.
Jay, you are 16 years old. If you get a license, can your parents or legal guardian request that your driver's license be canceled at any time before you reach 18 years old?
Yes. A teen driver can only drive if his parents permit him to.
Very good, Jay. Remember, if you disobey curfew rules or get bad grades in school, or for any reason that your parents feel that you are not responsible enough to drive, they can request that your license be withdrawn. Okay, next question. Is it permissible to make a right turn against a red signal light after stopping and yielding to other vehicles and pedestrians?
Yes, but only after every other driver or pedestrian has cleared the intersection.
Good. If a train is approaching, how far away from the rail crossing must you stop?
Between 10 and 50 feet.
What could happen if a person under 21 years old gets a citation for driving under the influence of alcohol?
He has his driving privileges suspended for 3 months, and upon conviction, his license is revoked for 2 years.
Very good, Jay. Now, one last question. Many drivers tailgate other drivers and are too close for safety if they have to stop. What is the rule for safe following distances?
You use the 3-second rule. You count to 3 seconds from a point that the driver ahead of you passed. And if you get there before the 3 seconds is up, you are following too close.
Very good, Jay. It appears that you really studied the rules of the road booklet. Are you ready for the actual road test?
I think so.
Okay, let's go to the state test car.
Now we have a blackout, and we play some music while they're taking the actual road test. And then the lights will come up. Whew. Wow. I'm sure glad that's over. How did I do, Trooper Fields?
Well, Jay, you answered all the questions in the oral exam correctly, and you navigated the exam course well. You adjusted your mirrors and put on your seatbelt before you started the engine. You used your stern signals when they were supposed to be used. You stopped at all stop signs, and you even made a 3-point turnaround while inside the stall.
So I passed?
Well, no, Jay. I'm afraid you made 2 big mistakes.
Oh, what were they?
In the very beginning, when we started out, you made the first right turn and you drove your right rear wheel over the curb. If someone had been standing there, you would have run them over, Jay. Then, you ran over that squirrel running across the roadway. If he had been a child, you would have killed it. No, I'm sorry. There are 2 serious mistakes. I have to fail you this time.
Oh, no.
It's not that bad, Jay.
Oh, yes, it is. You don't know how bad it is not to pass.
Well, then all you have to do, Jay, is to go practice some more with your parents in the car and come back in 2 weeks and take the test over again. I'm sure you'll do fine by then.
2 weeks. Okay, if you say so, Trooper Fields.
Well, well, it's...
That appears to be that.
Yeah, that's from a play called She's Driving Me Crazy. With Randy Offner as Trooper Fields, apparently, and a play written by the fellow taking the role of Jay Bailey. Blake Quinlan won't be playing it in the show, but co-written with Larry Smith, and Blake is directing this one act with the Ransville Theater Group. And Randy, what's it like to work for this young whippersnapper as a director? Is he abusive?
No, he is very professional. When you come to the show and read in the program, I laud him like crazy. He's got great work ethic. I cannot believe that even with the help of an older gentleman like Larry, he's been able to write shows the first time out of the gate like this that are of this quality. I'm very impressed.
And as a director, Blake, are you also functioning as a producer?
Yes, I am.
Which means quite a bit when it comes to dealing with other technical aspects of
yes, the shows. I think that the producing is a lot harder than the directing because you have to worry about getting people in the seats, the technical aspects of it, making sure that the show is ready to go. It's not so much one-sided as directing is with just making sure that the actors are on their game.
Just making sure that the actors are on the game. Of course, you have to conceptualize the whole thing.
Yes, that as well.
I've always thought that as somebody who has been a music director, I can't imagine being a stage director because I don't think I could do the conceptualization. And I've always been impressed with directors who can come up with wonderful-looking shows. I know you said that the budget was an issue, which is partly why you ended up writing a play. So I gather you're not charging royalties to the Ransville Theater Group yet.
No, not for this one.
the future one, right? Is the rest of the show a pretty low budget as well? Did you have much of a budget for sets and costumes?
We had a very minimal budget for the show. When we started the studio theater, it was designed to be that way. With only 32 seats, we have a very intimate setting. And with not being able to get a lot of people in there, we have to keep the budgets low so that way we can still make money or break even on the show.
And there's a whole bunch of shows going on at the Ransville Theater Group, and I invite you to encourage you to check out their website. It's rtgonline.org.
Mm-hmm.
Probably if you do com and forget like I usually do, it'll still come up, but rtgonline.org. The other play, The High School Reunion, this one I imagine... Oh, I did have one question. Apparently, it appears that with the previous one, you had to do some research on driver's education. Does that suggest that you're studying for your driver's test yourself?
I am not yet in driver's ed, but I am scheduled to take it this summer. So I think it'll be very interesting to take it after I've already written a play about it just to see the similarities and differences between the two.
So you know the rules, apparently, and you won't be running over any squirrels when you do your test.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. Even person or not, I wouldn't want to run over a squirrel, although I probably have done it in and just cringed. The other play, The High School Reunion, there I imagine you had to do a bit more imagining, since it has to do with folks who used to be in high school, which, you know, isn't you. You're just starting high school, or about almost a quarter of the way through it.
Yeah. The High School Reunion, I felt, was the bigger challenge to deal with the writing, because with, as you said, with She's Driving Me Crazy, with me being in high school, it's easier for me to put down on paper how high schoolers act, because I am a high schooler, as opposed to the adults who are out of high school.
And how about the girlfriend aspect? Or shouldn't I ask about that?
Well, that was more of Larry's input on that one there.
So
he's had a bit more experience with the ladies.
Are you still imagining at this point, as far as that goes?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We won't pursue that any further. So we have a scene from The High School Reunion?
Yes, we do. This scene is the closing scene in which the star, Jane Doe, is looking back on how the reunion turned out.
And Harriet, you're playing Jane Doe in this case?
Yes.
And are you the role of Jane Doe?
No.
You're
I'm the driver's seat.
You're teacher. An interloper as well.
Yeah.
Harriet Hinder.
Right.
Reading from High School Reunion by Blake Quinlan and Larry Smith for Rantoul Theater Group.
I wish one of them hadn't been married, but they both were. It was so nice to see them again. They looked just like they did back in high school. But they came back with those wives of theirs. Horrible, vicious women. Shattering all my hopes and dreams. Now I'll never have their love again. Am I to go on living in this town where there are no eligible men for me to marry? Is there no hope for me other than to run the pizza parlor? Hey, maybe I'll get another chance in 20 years at the next reunion.
Oh, no, you won't.
And that's the last line, yeah?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do we assume, or is this a giveaway, that she didn't succeed in breaking these guys up?
Yeah, it's a giveaway.
It's a giveaway right there.
So you're not going to answer that, right?
No, we will.
But it appears we know the answer. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it serves her right. I mean, just from your description, she doesn't sound like the best person in the world. No offense, Harriet. But, yeah. So, well, that I like the premise of that, you know. It sounds like it's – I assume it's a comedy?
Yes, both shows are comedies.
Both shows are the comedies. And have you had any public performances yet, or sort of trial performances?
We have not. We open this Friday at the Rantoul Theater Group, obviously, at 7 p.m. The April 9th, 10th, 16th, and 17th are our Friday and Saturday shows. We have shows at 7 and 8:30 p.m. And then we have Sunday matinees on the 11th and 18th at 2 and 4 p.m.
And if somebody wants to get tickets,
they can call the Rantoul Theater Group at 892-1121. They can email me at blake@rtgonline.org, or they can go onto our website, and we have a contact us form, and they can get reservations that way.
But can you purchase directly on the website, or just through the form?
You can get reservations, and we'll have your tickets ready at the box office.
So this runs through the 18th, was it?
That's correct.
And the studio theater, you said, is pretty small, so...
Yes, it's a black box theater, a very intimate setting. We started it last year as a project, a bit of a trial project, and it's really coming into its own. We also have three other shows scheduled in there for this year, so it's coming along very nicely.
And that's in addition to the main stage production.
Yes, we have 8 total shows this year.
Really? That's terrific. And how are the sales going so far for your one acts?
We have several reservations made already, so... We very much encourage reservations, as we have very limited seating.
There's one thing specific. Because it's a small, intimate setting, we decided to do like the movies and have 2 shows, one following the other. This way, people can come on 7 o'clock and see 2 complete shows, both plays, and then at 8:30, we're going to repeat the whole thing. So we've placed on the actors a requirement to actually perform twice in one day.
So the two plays are given back to back, you know, so your ticket gets both plays.
Yes, and then we have two showings of both plays each night. And you get to see both plays for only $5, which is half of our normal main stage price.
Wow, that's a bargain. So, yeah, that's terrific. Well, congratulations on your first project already.
Thank you.
And again, it's Blake Quinlan, who is 15. He's a freshman at Rantoul Township High School and in Rantoul, Illinois, obviously, and co-wrote with Larry Smith She's Driving You Crazy and the High School Reunion, and they brought along also Randy Offner, who is playing Mike Pepperone in the High School Reunion, and Harriet Hinderer, who read a different role but is Mrs. Phillips in She's Driving Me Crazy. So you both actually read from the opposite character. Mm-hmm. And sorry we didn't get to the ones where you probably read your actual character, but we'll leave that as a teaser for audience members. It's rtgonline.org for the Rantoul Theater Group. Coming up on Live and Local, we have soprano Desiree Hassler, who's performing with the Prairie Ensemble on Friday evening in Champaign. And we will talk with a member of the vocal quintet from Canada called Chic Gamine, which is going to be at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield on Saturday evening, and hear some of their music as well, which is really quite inventive. And we have support for our program today on Live and Local from 40 North, 88 West, presenting the 8th Annual Boneyard Arts Festival, April 15th through 18th. With venues throughout the country, the festival is a celebration of music, dance, arts, culture, and theater in conjunction with the local business community. Information on this year's festival is at 40north.org. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. That was a rather famous piece of music by Samuel Barber called the Adagio for Strings. Began life as the slow movement of his one and only string quartet, which was a very early piece of his. And that is going to be played on a concert Friday night by the Prairie Ensemble. I am the music director, actually. My name is Kevin Kelly, and I'm also host of this show, which is Live and Local. The concert will be at 7:30 at First United Methodist Church on Church Street in downtown Champaign, and it's partly a celebration of what would have been the 100th birthday of Samuel Barber last month. And there's another work of his on the program, which we'll talk about in just a moment, as well as the 39th Symphony of Mozart and some music by Bohuslav Martinu that we sampled at the very beginning of this show. This particular performance of the Adagio for Strings given by the Smithsonian Chamber Players, conducted by Kenneth Slowick. And my guest for this portion of the show is Desiree Hassler, who is a soprano finishing up her doctorate, or have you finished your doctorate?
I just finished my prelims 3 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
So I'm reveling in the time off. But not too much, I'm told.
Not too much reveling?
Yeah, not too much reveling. Have to get back to the actual writing, but I'm getting there.
You're getting to the point of starting the writing.
Yes, yes. But I think a lot of the resources are already gathered, and I have some clear ideas of what I'm going to do. So it'll be excited to get started.
And this is just in time for you to move away.
Exactly.
Desiree's been at the university for... how long?
This is my 8th year.
Is it really?
Yeah, we moved here from Los Angeles, my husband Daniel and I, to do our master's degrees. And we thought, you know, it'll be our little Midwestern adventure for a couple years. And lo and behold, here we are, 2 children later.
Well, you just threw that one in there. That was a big change.
Yeah.
I assume you planned that at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now you're headed up to Chicago this summer.
Yes.
To sing at the Lyric Opera.
That's right. Yeah, I got hired full-time there in the chorus. I sang last year in the supplemental chorus at Lyric, but there weren't any full-time openings in the soprano section. So when I auditioned again this year, I was lucky enough to get the spot.
And did you, I assume that most people who decide to do a vocal degree, particularly if you're going to do a doctoral program, imagine you're going to be an opera soloist, or do some folks come in and say, I don't want to do that or don't think I'm going to be able to do that and I'll be happy in the chorus? Or
I think you're right. Most people do a degree with the idea of, well, actually, most singers will do a doctorate because they want to teach in a university. And we just sort of did things a little differently in our family, having our children early on. And when I got the fellowship to start my doctorate, I thought, well, we'll just take this one semester at a time. And one semester led into another and another, and it sort of just finished itself. And so I'm in school because I really, after my master's degree, I just really enjoy the learning aspect. I got my minor is in musicology, and I've always just enjoyed being really engaged and how that really affects my singing, I think, for the better.
And I first heard you in as Violetta in Verdi's La Traviata.
That's right.
In the University of Illinois Opera Program. And I was totally smitten. So I don't remember how long it was then when I had occasion to need a soprano for Mozart's C minor mass with the Prey Ensemble.
Yes.
And I thought, I know who I want to ask.
Yeah, that was fun. That's a great piece. I was yeah, happy to have the invitation.
And you've sung with us a second time in Mahler's Fourth Symphony. We did a rather curious chamber version, and the last movement is a big soprano solo.
That's right.
A wonderful song of Mahler's, and you did splendidly with that.
Thank you.
And now here you are. The teaser we gave is that you're going to be singing some music by Samuel Barber, and I still remember your reaction when I called you on the phone and asked if you would like to sing Knoxville, Summer of 1915. Do you remember?
Oh, I remember it well. In fact, I was just describing it to my friend the other day. It's one of those pieces that pretty much as long as I can remember being, you know, involved with classical music, it's just been one of my very favorites. And so I had the occasion to first learn it with Eric Dahlheim the very first summer we moved to Illinois from Los Angeles. And I remember thinking, wow, it's so different here. And I just felt like that piece, to be able to really dig into it and get acclimated with it and even falling in love with it so much lyrically that it got me really into the poetry and the writings of James Agee and A Death in the Family, which, you know, Knoxville is a part of that work. And yeah, it's a very special piece. So when I got your call, I was very excited, to say the least, to be able to do it with orchestra.
I almost want to say there was a small scream.
There may have been a small scream.
Because I know, I remember you said you always wanted to do the,
it's true,
the piece with orchestra.
That's
and
right.
We just had our second rehearsal last night, the first one with you there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the musicians in the orchestra were blown away to hear you.
I'm glad. They sounded fantastic. I'm really excited about Friday.
Well, it's a piece that I love as well. Here's, and you know, I could never remember. I guess I had read this and simply didn't remember because I don't remember much, it seems, that does come from A Death in the Family, which,
yeah,
is the only thing of James Agee's I've read.
Right.
It's basically a very depressing book.
Yeah.
But this is not the depressing aspect of it. This is
right,
really wonderfully gentle.
Yes.
Sort of prose poem.
Right.
Is how it reads here.
Right. I think some of the coming of age qualities that you find in the Knoxville lyrically also translate from the novel. But of course, like you said, it's much weightier.
And, well, let's just play the opening,
sure,
of it for a little bit. There's an orchestral introduction, and this is one of my own two favorite recordings, which I found out was one of your two favorite recordings.
Indeed.
Of this piece. The other being Don Upshaw with, I think they use the same orchestra, actually, the Orchestra of St. Luke's,
right,
in New York. This one is with Kathleen Battle. Very different renditions. Andre Previn conducts this one. And here's the opening of Knoxville, Summer of 1915 by Samuel Barber here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
And we heard the first portion of Knoxville, Summer of 1915. Music by Samuel Barber, text by James Agee, and the performance here by Kathleen Battle with Yorkshire St. Luke's, led by Andre Previn. And just got into the streetcar section, which obviously has a very different feel of it. The music you just heard comes back a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, I mean, that's the pastoral
right
motif.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any, you said you grew up in Los Angeles?
I did.
And how did this particular text, which is a very non-citified
right
view of earlier American society, how did that register with you? You had to sort of get into the idea of it?
I did. And I feel like moving to Champaign in the summertime from Los Angeles, obviously much flatter. I remember driving the moving truck with my husband in the sea of cornfields. It was pouring rain. And I heard cicadas, and I didn't even know what they were. I thought it was an electrical problem somewhere. And so I think actually this piece really helped me to fall in love with how beautiful and simple the Midwest can be in the summertime and just learning to acclimate to just the look and feel of it. And now, who knew? I mean, I'm here 8 years later, and we don't have any. Obviously, we're moving up to Chicago, but we really love it here in the Midwest.
And this music was actually set in, I mean, the text was set in the South.
That's right.
And Barber told the story of having first read this and eventually met James Agee and discovered that their own childhoods had some similarities in
mm-hmm.
that they both grew up in families where that had these porches and they would sit around in the backyard and,
right.
and do exactly what this child, it's never really clear if it's a boy or a girl.
Right. I know in the novel Rufus is a boy, a 6-year-old boy. But the way it's sort of pieced together, you're right, it's not quite specific.
And of course, a soprano, a 6-year-old boy is going to sing soprano if he sings at all.
I have one, Jackson. He's 6 years old, and he has a lovely soprano.
on purpose?
Yeah, he does.
Does he enjoy singing?
He really does. Yeah, my 3-year-old, not so much. He's sort of the sporty one, but yeah.
So far.
That's right.
Although, you know, things could get started. Do you find that the kids enjoy hearing you sing around the house?
It's sort of a joke for our friends who know us well. Like I mentioned, my 6-year-old Jackson loves singing. And if I have to practice, he'll come. We have a studio in our home. He'll come and sit and listen really attentively, really quietly, and just sort of enjoy it. And my 3-year-old just says, "Mommy, please don't sing so loudly. I'm busy. I'm doing something important."
At 3.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And what are the important things that he does?
You know, soccer and knocking over things in our house and drawing important pictures. No, he's wonderful. They're both just wonderful kids. And I think that this piece I'm so privileged to be able to sing this text, which is so specific, so evocative. And I think it's like, since I had children, I feel like my ability to tell a story in song has been so heightened and so much more aware. So, yeah. I think they're going to be at the performance on Friday night. And, yeah, I'm excited to be able to just share this story with the audience.
And you said you told me last night that you have family coming in
my
from
parents,
California.
That's right. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That puts the pressure on all of us to do a really good job.
You know, it'll be great.
You brought in a recording of yourself from, 5 years ago?
Yes. Yes. It's I sang in the International Franz Liszt competition in Los Angeles, and this was a concert, a live recording of the winners from that evening, and the piece is Au Quand Je Dors. And I told Kevin, I haven't recorded any other Barber, and I was trying to think of what to bring in, and this is the only other piece that I love nearly as much as I love the Knoxville, so hope you enjoy it.
And do you remember the name of the pianist who's with you?
Beth Williams, good friend of mine from California.
And yes. You won this competition.
I did.
Desiree Hassler singing Liszt on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Oh,
music by Franz Liszt, sung by Desiree Hassler from a competition in 2005, of which she was the winner. And she's with me in the studio here on Live and Local. She'll be singing on Friday night with the Prairie Ensemble, Knoxville Summer of 1915 by Samuel Barber, in a program that also includes Mozart's 39th Symphony, one of his last and greatest, and another work of Barber's that we heard earlier, the Adagio for Strings, and also some quite amusing and lighthearted music for a small chamber ensemble by Bohuslav Martinu called The Kitchen Review, which is what will precede both Barber pieces.
It's going to be great.
Well, I really enjoyed hearing you sing with us last night. And we'll be doing it again in our dress rehearsal Thursday and then the concerts Friday night at 7:30, First United Methodist Church, downtown Champaign. For more information, you can go to the website, which is prairieensemble.org. And do you have a website?
You know, my husband is finishing it just as we speak. Check back next month. It'll be DesireeHassler.com.
Okay. Well, great. We'll be glad to see it, and I'll be glad to hear, as time goes, how you do up in Chicago with Lyric, and also, and I'm sure you'll be back down here to sing with folks and
absolutely
many other places.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Thanks for coming in. I know you have to go teach a lesson, so
indeed,
we'll let you go do it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Desiree on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
To live free, butterfly once said, "Here's the truth, but don't make it still will help you move. Will help you move. Will help you."
Butterfly Woman, the name of that song, being sung by Chic Gamine, a group from Winnipeg and Montreal, vocal quintet. They're coming to Sangam Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield this Saturday night at 8 o'clock in the Studio Theater there. And I had a chance to talk earlier today with one of their members, whose name is Ariane Jean. My guest for this portion of Live and Local is Ariane Jean, who is one of four, did I count right, four members?
We're
plus
five
one,
total.
Four women and one man in a group called Chic Gamine, which is a wonderful name. And I actually pulled off, because I didn't know what Gamine meant, so I had to look it up. And according to Wikipedia, the feminine form of the word, originally meaning urchin, waif, or playful, naughty child.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell me about your name.
Well, we wanted a name that was, that you could say in French and English fairly easily. And so finding names for us is a really difficult thing. We're still trying to name the album that we're working on, but that's a whole other story. And so we took a list of words that you could use both in French and English, and we chose a couple of our favorite words. And both chic and gamine were words that apparently you can use in English as well as French.
Well, I'm assuming that the chic part could also be read as chick, if you want, or not.
Well, we mean for it to be as chic.
Yeah.
But, you know, people interpret that as they want.
I hadn't even thought of that until a little later, but
although there is one man in the group, so
right,
he might take offense to that.
No, the man is not the singer, one of the singers.
No. We are four female singers. Who are kind of like the lead people. We all share our time in the spotlight, I guess. But the man is also, you know, able to sing, and he sometimes does the lead as well. So, and more he's starting to step out from behind the kit and joining us in the front of the stage.
But the kit is a drum kit.
It is a drum kit, yeah.
And you the rest of you also play various types of percussion at different times.
Yeah, that's right. And again, more and more, we're trying to step out of our comfort zone as singers and try to pick up some percussion. Most of the time, we play smaller percussion, but I think we're aiming to kind of grow into bigger percussion as well.
So coming back to the name, the gamin part, what about the urchin waif naughty thing?
I'm not exactly sure what an urchin waif is.
Well, urchin, comma, waif.
Okay. Well,
I mean,
it
must have something to do with your personalities.
Yeah, I think it's definitely based on personality. We're kind of a playful group, and we enjoy having fun, and I think that it's mostly based on that. And also growing up speaking, we're all French speakers. Gamine is a young, mischievous girl, I guess. But it can also be, it was also used in a fashion term as well. It's a kind of a look you can, I think, described Audrey Hepburn at a certain point.
Well, as a matter of fact, in the Wikipedia entry, there's a picture of Audrey Hepburn.
Well, there you go.
Right there. As it happens. How did you all decide to get together? You've just been going for a couple or 3 years now, right?
Almost 3 years, yeah. Well, some of us have been playing together for quite some time, probably about 10 years. Some of us have known each other, gotten to knowing each other through our parents, because our parents played music together, so we have kind of a long history. But then just through playing together in different venues, different places across Canada, and just playing in Winnipeg is where we all met each other. And there came a time where, you know, we were all in different groups, but all of those projects were coming to an end, and we decided that we wanted to play music together, and it's just, the ball, you know, has been rolling since then, and it's really felt like magic, as cheesy as that sounds. It's just been really easy for us to make a living as this group, and to make music together, and to go tour together, because we get along really, really well, and we're kind of all on the same wavelength as far as music goes, and it's a fairly easy thing for us to do together.
Well, when you say the same wavelength, that's actually got to be multiple wavelengths, because you cover so many different styles of music.
It's true, I guess, but it's not done on a conscious level. I think it just is what it is. And we're all songwriters, too, so we all bring our songs to the table, and that ends up being, they all end up being the tunes that we do in the show or that we record for the CD. And although we all kind of have different musical backgrounds, different musical influences, they all end up working together somehow, I guess, because we all work on them together, and we all put our brains together to make it work.
Well, I'm just reading here from your own biographical description for the group, where it refers to styles of gospel, soul, R&B, 50s doo-wop, Brazilian forró, and French chanson.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, in everything I heard, it sounds like you guys.
Yeah. I guess it's all in the approach you take, you know, when you're putting the sounds together. I mean, in a way, we're kind of limited because we're just voices and drums. But at the same time, you know, that is our sound. So no matter what we decide to do as far as songs go, or styles go, it kind of just ends up sounding like what we do, which is cool, I think.
Well,
but it makes it hard to describe to people who don't know.
Well, it does. Actually, I read the description before I heard anything of you, and so I'm reading soul, R&B, and I actually thought, well, I don't know if that's even quite the right format for our particular radio station, which is mostly classical, even
mm-hmm.
though this show isn't always. And then I heard the cuts, and then I thought, well, wait a second. Well, I guess that's kind of some R&B influence, but not really. I mean,
yeah.
It might have come from there, but it turns into a cappella singing with percussion.
Yeah, and at the same time, you can't even really call it a cappella singing because there's so much percussion
That's
involved.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, it's sprinkled with a little bit of instrumentation as well. But so we call it Acapulco. It's our own little brand of music.
Oh, on the other hand,
deux cœurs, une voix, toi et moi, plus un fond toi, mais il ne reste plus que moi. Un cœur brisé, aucun espoir de le réparer, mais toi tu es.
Sheikh Gamin performing here in Live and Local from their disc called Sheikh Gamin. They're going to be singing at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield Saturday night at 8 o'clock. For more information, visit Sangamon Auditorium's website. This is WYNL FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. Support for our broadcast today comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com.